The West Live. The West Live with Ben O'Shea.
Well, the federal government has announced plans for a legal crackdown on social media vitriol. Attorney General Michaela Cash says people who suffer at the hands of internet trolls could sue Facebook and Twitter if the tech giants fail to unmask abusers. Let's take a listen to what she said.
You should not be able to use the cloak of online anonymity to spread your vile, defamatory comments.
Joining me now is leading cyber safety expert and clinical psychologist Jordan Foster. Good morning, Jordan. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Ben. Happy to be back.
And so what do you make of these new laws?
Look, they're interesting, and I think this is a really important topic for a lot of people where they're targeted online, their reputation is put under the microscope, and there's sort of inflammatory things said about them. I think they are in dire need of protection. I think this is only going to work in a small number of cases, but it'll be interesting to see how this unfolds.
When you say a small number of cases, what is situations do you think these laws will be most effective?
Look, so the basis of these new laws is that a person can ask for this defamatory content to be removed from social media. That's actually already in place, part of the community guidelines for many social media platforms. So that's not new. The new part of this legislation in particular is the ability for a person to request the personal details of the troll. Where I think this will work is in situations where, let's just say that there's a disgruntled colleague who is starting to attack someone online, creating this sort of defamatory content. If that person does enter in their personal details correctly and then attack someone, I think in those situations this gives the victim power. Where it won't work is when people have set up accounts with fake details, because then the social media companies don't necessarily have any ability to request that the correct personal details from that person. So I think in low-level cases where it's more familiar, I think it will work in those instances.
Yeah, so that's an interesting point that you make, because I'm guessing that the people who really make a habit out of being trolls, so almost the professional trolls, probably are already getting around this legislation by not setting up their fake accounts with their own personal details.
Yeah, exactly right. The people that I like that use of the word professional, you know, it is. It's for a lot of people, this is something that they do daily. They are very, very sophisticated at the way they go about trolling. And step 101 for them is not to enter in any personal data to set up a social media account. And because there's no real verification process in place for a lot of these social media platforms, it is easy then just to create a fake account with different details to your own. It's the verification that actually needs to support this legislation in order to force people to enter in accurate personal data. But until that happens, I think for particularly those really aggressive professional, if you will, trolls, this will do nothing to stop them.
Jordan, I've got to say, you've really burst my bubble this morning, because I was thinking this is really fantastic that we're finally going to unmask some of these online trolls. But listening to you, it seems like the absolute worst of them, the ones that are causing the most problems, will just skate on by and not be impacted at all.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Ben. I hate to burst your bubble. And I think that, you know, moving forward with this type of legislation is really important. But unless you understand the complexities as to the online world and how people are actually interacting and what they're doing, then a lot of the time this legislation doesn't quite hit the nail on the head with, well, how do we actually make sure that this happens? And as I mentioned, unless there's verification as part of the sign-up identity verification process, then this won't do anything really.
Yeah, right. And now let's talk about the psychology of this, you know, these anonymous trolls in the first place. So, like, how important is that anonymity to them, and how does it, I guess, empower some of the more vile things that they share online?
Yeah, so anonymity online, it creates this space for a person to feel like they are not accountable for their actions. So they can actually then attack people online as a form of sport or entertainment, if you will, because they are not personally liable for the things that they are saying. So what they then get is the opportunity to see someone's really raw reaction without attributing themselves as the person who necessarily caused it. Or in some cases, some trolls actually like the idea of causing that person harm or upset. But the other thing about even setting up profiles as well is a lot of professional trolls, if you will, they wouldn't call themselves that, and we're just using that as a turn of phrase, but they will actually create their own profiles to be similar to the person who they are wanting to attack, so that trust is built initially and then they can really hit them where it hurts, if you will. So this opportunity and this legislation, unfortunately, isn't going to help those people. Like I said, verification is the tool, or lack thereof verification, is the tool that these people use to enable their behaviours online.
Mm. And it sounds like it's probably most suited to when the trolling is, there is kind of some personal connection between the victim and the person doing the trolling. But is that does that reflect who the people are who are being targeted most with online trolling? Is there a personal connection, or is it usually something that is done by complete strangers?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. So when we see the more malicious, those people who are serial trollers, usually there is no personal connection. They actually make a part of the process for them is to actually go online and identify those people that they feel like are vulnerable or they can get the greatest reaction out of, and then they build their strategy about how they're actually going to go do that. So they don't know the person at all. They just want to find the person that's going to give them the most interesting or evocative reaction. It's that low-level trolling that might be occurring in the workplace or between ex-partners that obviously is specific to that person, and this legislation might be more in line with those people. But the really malicious people, they don't know who you are, they don't care who you are, but they just want to elicit that reaction.
Mm. And we've seen in some high profile cases, especially here in WA, and the one that springs to mind is the disappearance of Cleo, where a child went missing and there were these trolls who were spreading really harmful gossip about her mum and stepdad. In a situation like that, would you anticipate these laws being useful?
Yes, if the person has entered in their personal details. But again, I would suggest that those people who are really familiar with trolling, it wouldn't. But there will be a lot of those people in those big media cases where they might not be, people might not be trolls historically, but they're getting on board with, you know, the current trend at the moment, the current news at the moment, and they are then targeting people online who they see in the media. So I think that this legislation for those people who are just doing it to have social media as an outlet, but it's probably not something they've done too much before. It's not something they choose to do in the future, who are actually signed up to their own profiles. Yes, this legislation might be a deterrent for them, which I think is really important in, like you said, those high profile cases where it seems easy to attack someone that you don't know, who doesn't have a face, and you can just cause them harm.
Yeah, right. And so I'm sure it'll pass Parliament, because it's a, you know, sort of having a crack at the big tech is a pretty victimless crime, I think, when it comes to federal politics. Do you think it is a step in the right direction in terms of bringing more accountability to this sector?
It is. Look, anything like this is a step in the right direction. But my opinion is that we could be taking leaps, whereas we're just taking little shuffles forward. Unless we really understand the broader way that social media works, that big tech works, the policies that are applicable to their communities that they operate in, how users are actually engaging with these platforms, unless you take a very holistic approach to this, then we fall short. I know the Office of the ECT Commissioner is really pushing for this idea of safety by design, which is all about how social media and platforms and gaming platforms are building functionality and features within their platforms to make sure from the get-go those platforms maximise safety. I think that's the right approach. But what we're doing at the moment with a lot of this legislation is band-aiding it, as opposed to starting from scratch and forcing social media and gaming companies to build their platforms for safety purposes.
Mm. Well, I think the other thing that is worth talking about before we let you go is the way the algorithms work on these platforms to, I guess, create bubbles of sort of self-affirming knowledge around people. And we're seeing that particularly with, you know, sort of anti-vaxxer sentiment. You specialise in cyber safety for children. Is that impacting the way young people are thinking about the vaccine?
Yeah, so social media creates echo chambers, and this is applicable to everyone in every instance. So what that actually means is that you are shown more of the things that you believe, that you click on or that you like or you're engaged with, but also other people within your demographic. So people who are a similar age to me, that have similar values, I see the things that they're engaging with. So what can happen with anything to do with this vaccination issue is that you are told what the social media platforms think you already believe. And so you're only presented with one version of reality, if you will, and it might not even necessarily be a factual one. It could be opinions-based pieces and blogs and bits and pieces like that. The problem for a lot of kids is that they don't necessarily know that. So they seek out information that's presented to them in the echo chamber, and then they assume that that's factually correct. We also then introduce confirmation bias if we have a value system that's already in place, or we have a preconceived set of knowledge points. Then anything we read that's in line with that only confirms that further. So we aren't seeing kids actually seeking out different perspectives or factual pieces of information, and therefore they just don't believe it. So we need to teach kids in schools, in homes, to be critically aware of the fact that they're just going to be presented with their own opinion again and again and again, and to actually seek out different pieces of opinion, making sure that websites that they're accessing are credible to make sure that they're getting credible information. Otherwise, it can cause a disaster.
Mm. Well, it's not just kids, I think, that need to learn that lesson. I think there's plenty of adults too.
leading
cyber safety expert, clinical psychologist, Jordan Foster. It's always a treat to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on The West Live.
Thanks, Ben.